You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart. So don't tell me about China. I know China. China! I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
I don't know, where to begin.
Last week, while the Democratic National Convention occurred in Chicago, pro-Palestine protesters aimed to get Palestine on the convention agenda. Uncommitted delegates began a sit-in protest outside the arena, while others rallied around the perimeter as delegates left. The demonstrations were largely peaceful, with protesters arguing for a Palestinian to be allowed to speak on the convention floor. Julie Chavez, the Harris campaign manager, met with delegates, but their demands were largely ignored. The DNC protests follow weeks of pro-Palestine protesters at Harris campaign events, demanding the Harris campaign call for a ceasefire in Gaza. So far, the United States has sent 50,000 tons of weapons to Israel since October 7 to be used in the Gaza Strip, all under the Biden-Harris administration. Also this week, independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dropped out of the presidential race, choosing to endorse Donald Trump. RFK Jr. has drawn significant controversy throughout his campaign, including for his anti-vax views and claims that he has mistreated wildlife, including staging a bear cub murder in Central Park and allegedly beheading a beached whale. The Kennedy has been named as a co-chair for the Trump transition team and has been condemned by many members of his Democrat-supporting family. Most family members have chosen to endorse Biden and now Harris, with RFK Jr.'s sisters Rory Kennedy previously saying a vote for RFK Jr. is dangerous. For State of the States this week, I catch up with Yale Daily News' Andre Faoso on both the pro-Palestine protesters at the DNC and RFK Jr., as well as what both these topics mean for young American voters. At the DNC, and now following that, many pro-Palestine supporters have spoken up against Kamala Harris. Why are they protesting her?
Well, the DNC refused to allow a Palestinian speaker to address the plenary session. This culminated into a significant media spectacle and protest that happened outside of the DNC conference in Chicago. Thousands of people protested outside of the conference center throughout the entire week, both against the Democratic Party's refusal to allow Palestinian representation at the conference in light of strong conversations around tackling anti-Semitism and Islamophobia.
Is it a bad sign that a lot of these pro-Palestine delegates, not just that one speaker, were ignored at the DNC?
Well, pro-Palestinian delegates at the DNC were definitely feeling left out, were left feeling quite emotional and disappointed by the turn of events at the event. And for many, it marked a potentially grim outlook for how a potential Harris-Waltz administration will handle Israeli and Palestinian relations, both within the party domestically, but also in terms of foreign policy.
How could these protesters impact the campaign?
Well, Harris said in her primetime speech at the DNC that she supported Israel's right to defend itself and vowed to get a hostage deal and a ceasefire deal completed. However, critics of Harris and the Democratic Party have said that they have largely glossed over the issue of genocide, both at the DNC and at campaign events where pro-Palestinian protesters have once more been very vocal. Fundamentally, there are groups of Palestinians and to some degree liberal Israelis who feel disenfranchised because of the Democratic Party's firm position. And the tensions at the DNC for many liberal voters indicates that the foreign policy position on Israel and Palestine under a Harris administration will remain largely indifferent to how positions have been emphasized now under both Biden, but also what's being proposed on the other side by Donald Trump. One thing that is in core focus at the moment is Harris's economic and diplomatic policies and whether they square up to those being proposed by the other side. Another matter is the appeal to voters, particularly those that are in the center, perhaps why in many terms. analysts and commentators have said that Harris has taken a somewhat populist economic and diplomatic approach to appeal to the political sentiments of more swayable voters.
Is there a risk of Harris losing both the Muslim and student vote based on her foreign policy stance?
Absolutely. Once more, you know, there is a proportion of voters both within the Democratic Party, but also voters who don't know what direction to go in now because of the events that happened both at the RNC and the DNC. So within the coming weeks, it'll be interesting to see how both Harris and Trump hone in on their foreign policy positions, particularly Israel and Palestine, considering that there are now parts of the voting population, both Israeli and Palestinian and Muslim, that feel disenfranchised by the positions of both parties on this issue.
And on the other side of the political spectrum, why has RFK Jr. endorsed Trump?
Well, RFK has argued that the Democrats have spent their time and energy trying to keep him out of their party and out of the race, hence he ran as an independent. His bid has lasted for nearly a year now. However, it seems he never was able to gain enough traction. However, before Joe Biden stood down as the Democratic nominee, he was riding a wave of optimism as voters turned to him as an independent as they lost faith in Biden's ability to govern or even campaign for the election.
RFK Jr. is a fairly controversial figure, notably for his views on vaccinations. How will this play with his involvement in the Trump campaign?
Well, in some polls, he was raking in as much as 15% of the vote. However, in later polls in recent weeks, especially after the RNC and the DNC, he was polling around 3-4%. So removing his name, despite his controversial perspectives, particularly in the 10 swing states, may seem like a strategic move to favour Donald Trump. However, it is inconclusive as to whether this will create a significant difference in the outcome of the election. We will have to wait and see in the next few weeks as the race ramps up and the all-awaited debate that will happen between Trump and Harris to see whether this RFK-Trump political coalition garners enough support in key areas to push him over the line. One thing that centre-leaning voters are liable to are inflammatory comments and inflammatory rhetoric. So it'll be interesting to see how, as RFK joins with Trump, the onslaught of rhetoric that will come as a result of it.
Kennedy is also the centre of a series of bizarre stories about wild animals. Why is he attracting the attention of environmental activists?
Yes, so he's had a very interesting relationship with animals of all types, from saying he had a brain-eating worm in his head to eating a bear cub and then staging its murder in New York City's Central Park. He was running late after a flight, to recently a story came out saying that he beheaded a beached whale with a chainsaw and then pulled its head off with a minivan. It is an interesting array of stories that has captivated the media and also environmentalists. It goes quite fittingly with his position on climate policy, also environmental strategies, and in very serious political times, it is perhaps these actions carried out by RFK that don't aid in his perception as to be a serious candidate. His immediate family have come out condemning his endorsement of Trump, saying that it is a betrayal of the values their politically infamous family hold dear. And once more, it's very interesting to see the pushback that both environmentalists and the other side have had to the somewhat unconventional coalition between RFK and Trump.
The whale beheading story, isn't that not just weird, but also a federal crime? Could we be seeing a multi-felon party in the Republicans?
Well, there was definitely backlash when the bear cub story came out in New York City, and there have been federal investigations into that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as a result of this beached whale story, considering that it is pretty fresh. But undoubtedly, there will be investigations into any environmental crimes that were committed as a result.
And just to wrap up on what we know about RFK Jr. so far, how is he playing with young people?
Well, he has tried very extensively to appeal to young voters through his social media presence. However, it in many instances has not significantly taken off, especially in the light of the Harris-Waltz ticket. As many would have seen, especially young people, the Harris-Waltz ticket has gotten extreme attention on social media, particularly among young voters. So it'll be interesting to see how, now that RFK has joined the race with Donald Trump, how he uses his position to sway independent voters and perhaps maybe independent young voters towards the beliefs and the ideals of the Trump-Vance ticket.
That was Yale Daily News' Andre Faoso on pro-Palestine protesters at the Democratic National Convention and the decision of RFK Jr. to endorse Donald Trump.
Excuse me. I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.